Tuesday, October 6, 2020, at 7:01 PM. We are meeting at the Community Recreation Center. We will start our meeting with a pledge led by Councilmember Ellsworth, and then the invitation will be given by Councilmember Gittens at the back inside. Not the, to the Councilmember Anderson.
Clear, please rise.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful for this meeting. We have come together for this council meeting. We look forward to the opportunity of having this great assembly and make decisions that are pertinent for the city, and to celebrate those emergency responders who are so important to us in our daily lives and for our community. May I ask blessings upon them and upon their families. We are grateful for their bravery and their strength. We ask for peace to be in our community, that we can go about our business and in safety and in health. And we ask that we do our best in all we do and every responsibility that is ours. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Moving on to item number 2, is approval of the meeting agenda. If some of you would like to make that motion.
I'll make the motion that we approve tonight's meeting agenda.
Motion made by Councilmember Ellsworth. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Councilmember Smith. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. We'll move on to item number 3, which is public comment. Is there anybody here?
There's no one on.
No one on the list. Okay. And we will close the public comment portion of the meeting. Move on to item number 4, which is urgent action on adopting resolutions recognizing spirit champions. So tonight we have several individuals who we are very excited to recognize. And I'm just going to read directly from our resolution as it discusses the incident that occurred and all that happened that day. And then after I read it, their resolution, we will hear some key comments from the city, and then I will take a look from the council. So this resolution says it's a resolution recognizing Lyle Longson, members of the American Corps Rescue Crew, and members of the American Corps Police Department as Cedar Hills champions for their heroic efforts and outstanding service. Whereas the City of Cedar Hills wishes to fully recognize resident Lyle Longson, American Corps Rescue Captain Jordan Hendrickson, Lieutenant Chase Perry, Firefighter Patrick Poland, Paramedic Chad Jensen, Battalion Chief Eddie Hales, and American Corps Police Sergeant Stuart Poor, Officer Robert Ariza, and Officer Philip Craig for their quick response and heroic efforts which led to the saving of the life of a Cedar Hills resident. And whereas on August 20th, dispatch received a call that a man was in cardiac arrest. A neighbor, Lyle Longson, immediately began CPR and continued until police and EMS arrived on the scene and were able to resuscitate the individual and transport him to the hospital where he received the care needed and was later released. And whereas medical staff from the hospital have said that without the life-saving efforts of Mr. Longson and the EMS and police team, the patient would not have survived. And whereas each of these champions exemplifies the traits, abilities, and determination that set an example and inspire others in our community, now therefore, be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Cedar Hills, Utah, and on behalf of all residents, hereby proclaims that October 7th, 2020, will be recognized as Cedar Hills champions Lionel Thompson, Captain Jordan Hendrickson, Lieutenant Chase Perry, Firefighter Patrick Cullen, Paramedic Chad Jensen, Battalion Chief Eddie Hales, Sergeant Stuart Poor, Officer Robert Ariza, and Officer Philip Craig Day in Cedar Hills. With this, the City of Cedar Hills wishes to recognize and sincerely thank these champions for their dedication, inspiration, and example they have provided to our community. So this is my
thank you for giving us a few minutes of your time today. We also want to point out and honor the same individuals. Today we're here to honor these members of the community whose quick actions made an impact in the individual's life. We call this the Great Save Award. As the saying goes, it takes a community, and though there are many similar events, it's good for communities to pause and show some appreciation. We certainly appreciate the honor that you've shown in our way. On August 20th of this year, American Fort Fire and Rescue, along with members from the American Fort Police Department, were dispatched to aid an unconscious patient. upon arrival, CPR was being administered by Lionel Funston, a neighbor. The life-saving efforts of American Fort Fire and American Fort Police, along with Mr. Longson's ability to act quickly and perform CPR, allowed for the patient to be taken to Mountain Point Medical Center, where he's able to recover. Mountain Point is proud to serve the community. As a community hospital, we certainly appreciate the chance to be here locally. We appreciate the patients who can get the opportunity to work with the first responders. The first responders are so willing and eager to be able to serve the communities in which we all live. We're also proud to have a cath lab at Mountain Point. This is the only cath lab in northern Utah County. And having this heart service enables us to better take care of patients right here close to home. With the heart care made to matter, and having this service close to home is an excellent care that I love my own family. Therefore, as president of Mountain Point Medical Center, I am honored to have the opportunity today to present the Great Save Award. I would like to recognize the American Fort Fire and Rescue, the individuals that you mentioned, the American Fort Police Department that you have mentioned, and the good neighbor, Lionel Longston. If those individuals or the folks from the police agency come up for a picture, that would be okay, and receive an award.
We're going to actually pass this resolution real quick, and that's exactly what we'll do.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine. So I just want to take a minute to express my appreciation. I love having the opportunity to recognize our law enforcement individuals and our paramedics and firefighters, EMS personnel who serve our community. I hear nothing but positive feedback from residents in our community with every interaction that we've had. So we really appreciate that we have the opportunity to recognize the heroic efforts that you're engaged in. We're so grateful and appreciative of all that you do for Cedarville. Before I ask for a vote, I'm going to open it up to the council if anybody else would like to say a few words.
Mayor, if I can. I have a son who's a brand new doctor, and I know you guys, what you do every single day is worthy of this kind of fanfare, so I feel like this is just a little bit that we can do to appreciate you. We really appreciate the American Fort Police Department. My husband and I did the Citizens Academy and can't say enough great things about that. Like, it just opened our eyes and gave us a really good appreciation for what you guys do every day, even on that small scale that we got to see. So thank you for everything you do. Thanks for just being here every day. We appreciate you.
I'd like to say something too. We had to call 911 in August for my mom. And American Fort paramedics came so quickly and they were so kind and handled it so professionally, and I was so grateful that we have people like you to help our community and to be there when we're in distress and we don't know what to do, but you know exactly what to do. And I appreciate that, and we've had so many positive experiences with the police and the fire and the paramedics, EMS. Everybody has always been so kind and professional, and I just appreciate your care of our community.
I would just add that it's comforting to know that our community is in good hands, the professionals that serve this community. It's also very comforting to hear of neighbors looking out for neighbors. That's what your community is. I think it's all of us working together for the betterment, the benefit of ourselves and our neighbors.
I echo that. And what everyone said, ditto the other day. Thank you, American Fort. Police and fire, we appreciate your service to Cedar Hills. We feel like we're really just a team. It really does. Thank you.
I couldn't say any better. I mean, I wish we could do more to show our appreciation for everybody involved. But this is fantastic. So, thank you. Yeah.
All right, somebody let's make that motion. I think you can just
Use the title of the resolution.
Okay. I'll make the resolution. I move that we approve resolution 10-6-2020A, a a resolution recognizing Lionel Longson, members of the American Fork Rescue Crew, and members of American Fork Police Department as the Cedar Hills champions, a Cedar Hills champions for their heroic efforts and outstanding service.
Motion made by Councilmember Evans, is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Councilmember Smith. Councilmember Miller.
Aye.
Councilmember Smith.
Aye.
Councilmember Gibbs.
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson.
Aye.
Councilmember Ellsworth.
Aye.
Motion passed unanimously, so Mr. Longson and everybody else who I recognize tonight, tomorrow is officially your day, so whoever your family or significant others are, I think that they just have to wait on you hand and foot and do whatever you need, because it's your day here at Cedar Hills, so thank you so much. We appreciate you.
I think they got.
I forgot to put them in the packet.
Okay.
I didn't put them in the packet. I forgot, but I'll send them on if you want.
Okay.
And then one note: when you guys speak, can you pull your mask down so it's easier to hear? Thank you.
Okay, so you said it is the equipment of Tyler Dahl, Catherine Nunes, all three members of the Planning Commission. I did have an opportunity to interview them both, and I think they'll be great members of the Planning Commission, and we'll make sure that we get those applications. So unless there are any concerns or questions, I will take a motion on
this. Does that fill our Planning Commission member?
Yes, it fills in the two alternate bookings that we were.
I will move that we approve the consent agenda.
Motion made by Councilmember Anderson, is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Geddes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. We'll move on to items 6 and 7, which is city reports of business, starting with Mr. Goodwin.
Thank you, Mayor. Let me start with some recreation notes. We are finishing our flag football season. We felt like we had a very successful season given the restrictions that we were following for coronavirus. Soccer and tot soccer are still going on, and those are also off to a great start. I want to commend the Recreation Department for all their efforts in complying with the measures that the Utah County Health Department and Utah State Health Department have implemented. We will see some dry fields throughout the city as we're nearing the end of the drying season, the watering season, but it's still pretty hot, but we have no winter water rights after October 15th. I'll speak more about that in just a second. We do have a new events coordinator that started today. Her name is Missy Barr. She'll be working with Becky Galloway going forward, and we're excited to have her on board as staff. And then golf continues to have great numbers. We're looking forward to a bit of a slowdown, I think, so that we can get some projects done. They've had just a phenomenal year, so I want to commend the golf staff as well. They've done just a tremendous job this year with the demand on the course. As I mentioned earlier, the winterizing your pressurized irrigation systems is coming up. We, like I said, the city no longer has winter watering rights as of October 15th, so even though the weather will be nice, the systems will be shut down a couple days before then. So that'll be give a few days to drain the system. If you have a system or you see a system that is operating after the 15th, please notify the city, as that could be indicative of a cross connection. And then, just due to the overall dryness in the area, the 2020 fall burn season has been canceled. So there's more information about that on the website. So that's all I have, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Ellsworth. Councilmember Adams.
So I attended my Utah Light Commission meeting, an unusually long 2-hour meeting, but one thing I want to bring back from that meeting is that in light of the recent event that happened this summer where the two girls ran on Utah Lake, they didn't have life jackets on, they were just on a floaty, the Utah Light Commission is beginning a life jacket drive to donate life jackets, and that they'll have down at the Marina, and they're going to be able to let people have life jackets if they didn't come with one, to prevent anything like that from happening in the future. So we're going to be putting in the city newsletter information about this life jacket drive. So just kind of, you've got life jackets, going to those collection points that is
that's in the information that they sent over. I don't know if it's possible, maybe even at the city, if we could collect life jackets and bring them to the collection points to make it easier for our residents to drop off life jackets. But I feel that's a really worthwhile cause. And that's all I have.
The only two things on my list, we did, Sean and I were able to go to Cedar Ridge Elementary when they released their first monarch butterflies that they had been,
breeding, I don't know.
Nurturing, so they became butterflies, and so that was part of the Cedar Hills being still currently the only monarch butterfly city in Utah. So that was a fun event. They were able to participate in with the third graders there. And then the regional committee for MAVI did approve the 2024 funding, transportation funding schedule, which includes the Whiting Harvey Boulevard, which goes from or rewidened it to Canyon Road. So that has been funded for 2024. It wasn't the full funding amount that we requested, but I think it will be sufficient since the rest of things that happened there. So again, that's until 2024, but it has been approved.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
So is that just through Cedar Hills? Is that like through Cedar Hills we are 100% white?
We are. We were pretty close in Rome to get approval for that.
Did it spend months?
It spent months, yeah. So it will go all the way from where we wiped it up RV to Canyon Road. Pleasant Grove wanted us to work with this on them. Sorry, assuming they talked to the residents. There's no opposition to it.
Great.
Okay, Councilmember Hicks.
Sorry, I was a little late in the watch stop, but I was out. I was like talking to Amber Warner and President.
No problem.
Nothing else to report on.
Councilmember Smith.
Yeah, I just wanted to say in another assignment that I have, I mentioned this in the work session, that I had occasion to be in a meeting with the superintendent, just wanted to let residents know how that was a cluster meeting, so it was our group, our schools that are in this area, and just how much they care about the kids and how they've been working so hard during this time, so I wanted to commend them, and then also our residents as parents for supporting what's been going on in the schools and helping us to keep those cases closed and keep our kids in school.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Councilmember Miller.
Nothing.
Okay. Thank you. So we move on to our scheduled items on public hearings. We have several tonight that are also public hearings. The first one, number 8, is a review action of public hearing on an ordinance amending City Code 10-68-2 related to districts within the SC1 commercial zone. Firstly, is there anybody here that wanted to speak on this particular item? Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing.
So for simplicity's sake, I will be discussing the first 3 public hearing items all in one cluster, as they're all semi-related, so it's hard to talk about one without talking about all of them, really. Let's pull up the map I'm going to pull up was the zoning map, the SC1 district, a few years ago. I want to say about 2017, 2018. So you can see here. So there's really 3 districts within the SC1 zone. This yellow portion is the office district, this blue portion is the mixed-use district, and this red is the retail district. This purple represents kind of a mesh between the retail and the mixed-use, where some uses are identified that can be in this area to be sort of a buffer between the residential area and where we want to see more of our retail. In 2017, I believe it was, 2018, we entered into a settlement agreement with the Cedar Canyon group, and the zoning map down here changed. So we pull up what that looks like now. So the zoning map changed, and what changed about it was we pulled that parcel up is referred to as a smart parcel, but it's this blue piece, and it's a hybrid. It contains the 8 units that are the Cedar Canyon development. There's also one commercial piece there. So that's no longer part of our commercial district. So if I were to pull up the commercial zone right now, it looks like this. You see, once again, you have the yellow for the office, you have blue, which is the mixed use, and you have the red, which is for the retail district. And then you have this, what we'll talk about just a second. And then you can see this hybrid area here. This is where the storage unit is being built right here. And there's still the other parcels to stop that. But the parcel question is, it stems from an application that the city's received for the AmpSource property. The AmpSource property is this building that's got the Great Pizza at one end and the Marco's Pizza on the other. That building was built in 2015, and it's got 4 units inside of it. 2 of them sat empty for about 5 years. And if you recall from the discussion we had in the previous meeting, we tried to find a way to open the doors to these landowners. We tried to find ways to get these buildings that have sat vacant for so long, try to find ways to get them occupied. The application that we have right now is for an ATM. It's a very simple building. It's taking one of those slots and it's putting an ATM in. Problem is that ATMs are not allowed in the retail district. So the thought was, why don't we just take this whole building and put it into the mixed-use district, thereby allowing an ATM, calling it a data collection center, because it's not a bank. You don't walk in there, not a teller, simply an ATM. So we thought that's the discussion with the attorney that was going to talk about how to accommodate this land use application. So any questions so far on moving this building? One of the things we're trying to avoid is unintended consequences of tweaking our code too much. And so there's a staff proposal that if the building is sat vacant, that it could be considered used in an adjacent district, could be considered. There were some unintended consequences that I think resulted from that proposed code. So we struck it down and we moved forward. The Planning Commission recommended that data centers be allowed as a conditional use in the retail zone. Staff had concerns about that just because you have this big area over here where, you know, when these data companies could come in and say, well, we want to build a 50,000 square foot data center. We didn't feel more comfortable with that, but I think it just kind of bridges that gap and finds a solution to that problem. But along with that, because we're moving this building from the retail district into the mixed-use district, we wanted to look at the permitted and conditional uses in that area and saying, we want to make sure that we're not taking away a use that would be a beneficial use there. So what this is the land use table that's from the code. I apologize, in converting from code to this Word doc, you got a little messed up. But you can see the land use code number here. You can see the description of what the land use is. And then you have these 3 columns here. These 3 columns represent retail, mixed use, office. They're just not lined up. You can see this first column is retail, the middle column is the mixed use, and the last column is the office. And staff is, you can see the red is the changes we're proposing. First change is land use 5330. It's variety stores, dollar stores. The Dollar Tree that's down there was approved before this code was approved. So if you're wondering, well, how did that Dollar Tree get put in there? Because this was approved before that Dollar Tree was put in. But really the way I'm approaching this proposal is that if there's a transaction of a hard good, whether it's a club, whether it's a t-shirt or a windshield wiper or something else, treating those the same, not really caring what the transaction is all about, but just as long as it's a retail use. So, for example, land use 5520, here you have tires, batteries, and accessories. It's a conditional use in the retail zone, but it was not a use in the mixed use zone. But if you think about something like an AutoZone or O'Reilly, which we actually do have an application for, what's the transactional difference between exchanging money for a shirt or a clothing item at Walmart, which is across the street, similar proximity to homes, versus going into O'Reilly and buying a car battery. The installation is done on site. It's not an auto mechanic store. It's really just a transactional purpose.
You can also buy at Walmart.
Which you can also buy at Walmart, that's correct. Anyway,
that was the approach the staff took to this, but as we looked at this list, we wanted to make sure the uses that were found in the mixed use, uses that were found in the retail sub-district would be logically represented in the mixed use district. So that's one of them. Another one would be the apparel and accessories. Clothing, shoes, tailored cosmetics. I don't know, I can't think of a good reason why we would not want that in the retail, the mixed use district. It makes sense to me right there. This is an oversight that we missed in the past. One other one that I wanted to point out though was, drive-through and fast food restaurants. We distinguish between 5810 restaurants where you sit on site and eat versus drive-through fast food restaurants where the food is taken largely to go in that kind of type of manner. I would propose adding it as a conditional use in this district as well. And I'm going to go back to the map and explain why. So this mixed use, you have really three parcels. You have the existing building here. You have the existing, the portion that's part of Cedar Canyon development. Then you have that Mopi Bluffs. Mopi Bluffs, as they're developing this, I know I've been mentioned of installing a grease trap as part of their development, which would allow them to do a restaurant. But according to this code, there would have to be dining on site, which is fine. But there could be a small space where it's more of a to-go delicate. Be something else. I don't believe that they have the space there to do a drive-through, given they're not planning on a drive-through either. But this property right here, this is the property we're actually having a site plan meeting with as we've gotten O'Reilly out of the parks. But if that doesn't go forward, there has been other discussions about possible drive-through type locations at this location, at this parcel. So we want to open up those development doors as wide as we can and be pushing that forward. I know that one of the concerns that we hear frequently is, what about traffic along this portion? So from the roundabout to North County Boulevard, there are concerns about traffic. Staff, I've reached out to two different traffic engineering firms and gotten bids to do a traffic study on this road and to provide short-term projections, long-term projections, and recommendations on what modifications we need to make to the road. So they're going to be evaluating this intersection here, which is really the choke point, but also the turn movement into Chase Bank, turn movement into the AmSource property, the intersection between the Walmart and 4700, as well as the, east access, and then the roundabout. They're going to be evaluating the level of service on those intersections and then making projections based on what's coming. With the commercial development, we also talked about development that's to the west, the USDC property, and saying, give us a long-term projection on what we want to see in these traffic counts in this road. And then following those numbers, we want to see what mitigation measures we need to put in place. So staff's actively working on that because we
just need to. Can I ask you a question about that? I thought that whole Cedar Hills Drive already has a traffic study based on when that whole site was going to be commercial. So, it's gone down because now we're residential on that big chunk of property.
It probably does, but the problem is that sometimes there's just unforeseen developments in the area. And really the problem we're having is students queuing up to open high school. That's really the only time when that road, the level of service really dips between the down to a level that's probably unacceptable. So the question isn't massive overhaul of the intersection. I mean, I'm sorry I'm getting really off topic here, but really addressing the stacking ability and the ability to turn left on North County Boulevard from Cedar Hills Drive, possibly restriping, redoing this intersection here at 4700 to allow for greater movement, greater visibility, whatever needs to happen.
And I'm back to the original conversation about Cedar Hills Drive. There was no expectation that 700 homes were going to be suburbs of multi high schools. Now we know that's the reality. And half of that will go to Cedar Hills Elementary. So you could have similar issues with parents trying to get from that development Highland across to Cedar Hills Elementary homes as well.
The study's honestly not that much money, but I think it'll my goal information for the city what we need to do going forward. So we're going to be actually working on that next month.
I mean, honestly, Cedar Hills Boulevard, I think is a minor street. I mean, it's got traffic calming trees, it's got an island, it's like, but can it handle the traffic? I guess that's the question.
But that's a great point. We actually brought that up with the engineers that this is, we have a couple entry points to the city, and Cedar Hills Drive is it's a pretty, you have this white boulevard and the street line, there's trees down the middle, and we want to preserve that as much as we can. That's important to us. As we start to evaluate this, some of the trees are going to have to be, but it's important to us that welcoming atmosphere as you drive in the Cedar Hills, it feels just nice. We want to maintain that as much as we can. That's a priority for us.
And for one other thing I'm going to add too, we'll talk about the schools, so again, that's 700 homes. The great thing for us from a sales tax perspective is that this is their closest grocery store and commercial zone, but it just means a lot more people coming across that intersection than we did.
So, yeah, so going back to the notice for tonight's meeting, there's three items. There's the rezoning, this building, it's not even rezoning, it's staying in the public, staying in the SC commercial zone, it's just moving into a different district. I've talked a little bit about this piece, but this piece is staying in the PB1 zone as per that development agreement. But I want to be clear that when that gets developed, there's not, and I talked to you, Mayor, about this before, but there's not a clear indicator whether that's in the, I told you otherwise, I want to clarify what I've said before, but there's not a clear indicator of what district it's in. So we want to still, on that piece, be able to open up those doors and say, here's what we want to see developed there.
So I think the only requirement of the settlement agreement was that it cannot have any additional residential.
Yes, and we talked about that with the developer, that this development piece is limited to 80 homes, which is being all used up in the Cedar Canyon development. And then the final, sorry, I pulled up this land use table really quickly. What did this land use table break? Are there any questions about this? As you have this in your packet and you're able to look at this, are there any items that staff, like you said before, would ask maybe to
or are you willing to put 5813 as a C for the
I would propose adding that as a conditional use to the mixed use district.
We need to put that in motion.
I would, yes. And then the final bit, code that we're proposing to change tonight is Cedar Canyon had. Now it no longer is relevant. So this is kind of a unofficial member said that this is a more aligned COVID and certain intentions that aren't really able to be met at this point. The other portion of this code, the multiple office development, does mean this one is really hard to interpret given the limited size of that district. So staff is recommending that this just simply be struck out and those be re-lettered to A, B, and C.
Questions from the council? So the two public hearings related to additional items were an ordinance amending City Code 10-6A-3 related to conditional and permitted uses within the SP1 commercial zone and an ordinance amending City Code 10-6A-6 related to residential requirements in the SP1 commercial zone. Is there anybody here that wanted to speak during the public hearing on those items? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing, bring it back to the council. Are there additional questions from the council to consider? Not, I will take a motion, and it looks like all three of those items are going to be covered in the same motion.
I'll make a motion. I move that we approve ordinance 10-6-2020A, amending Cedar Hills Code 10-6A, sections 2, 3, and 6, related to districts within the SC1 zone, conditional and permitted uses, and residential requirements within the SC1 zone, subject to a modification of, I believe, it's line 13, adding conditional.
Motion made by Councilmember Anderson. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Ellsworth. Councilmember Miller.
Aye.
Councilmember Smith.
Aye.
Councilmember Gibbs.
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson.
Aye.
Councilmember Ellsworth.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. We move on to item number 11, which is a review action of public hearing on approving a permit for Bank of America and the SC1 commercial zone. Is there anyone here who wanted to speak during that public hearing?
As I alluded to earlier, the staff received an application for Bank of America ATM to be located in the Amsor subdivision, which we have now redistricted for this subdistrict in the mixed use district. As I mentioned before, the property is being built not as a traditional bank, but simply as a room you walk into, which means that's the extent. It's very simple, really effective to be seen. So it's really kind of interesting to watch. But I do like the idea of getting tenants in some of these buildings that have sat vacant for a location. The building, as we mentioned before, is in the Amsource building there on top of Cedar Hills Drive, next to the Marcos, Lisa, and the Great House. But the City Council does have the ability to grant that conditional use permit as per City Code 10-5-37. Are there any questions? Well, back up. Typically, when you apply conditions on a project, they're to deal with noise or smells or any of the parking nuisances that may be emanating from the use. As we talk about conditional uses, we think of them as permitted uses, but with certain conditions that mitigate those nuisances. Given the lack of too much here, I mean it's an ATM, so I don't imagine that there's going to be any smells emanating or noise. But if you have a concern, I'd love to hear it so we can talk about that.
Questions from the council? I know we discussed this conversation in the past.
My thoughts, my question, is about safety, actually. I'm not sure how that works, if it's going to be something where customers need to swipe their card to enter the room, or it seems kind of like a safety trap. Not that we have typically these problems in Cedar Hill, but when the ATM's outside, you kind of have various escape routes for somebody to you. That's my initial reaction, but that might be because of what I do.
Let me just make sure I understand. Are you concerned about, there's ways to mitigate that or add safety measures with cameras, lighting, hours of access? I mean, those would be the things I'd initially approach in terms of safety.
Yeah, I mean, my thoughts are just somebody could block the door and pick somebody up. Lighting, where is west facing. I imagine it'll probably be tinted windows, be a little bit harder to see inside. But I, you know, I would hope that they would put ample safety measures, cameras, lights.
Can I ask, is it the one closest to Marco?
I believe it's the other one. I'm not 100% positive.
Any additional questions? Is it a 24-hour or do you have a 24-hour?
I've been told it is. As I mean, as I kind of in light of Councilman Miller's statement, I'm thinking about ATMs, and most of the ones I'm aware of are accessible 24 hours. As long as the hour will be cash ATM closing. But those are valid concerns that I think that we can probably bring up with the public. Whether if it's not 24 hours, then I think maybe they have some kind of locking mechanism on the door. I don't know if they have key card access to get in. That's a good question I can bring up with them.
I'm sure this isn't their first rodeo.
No.
Bet they have thought of all these things, but I would love to hear what they plan. I agree with Councilmember Miller. I would love to hear what their plan is. I hate for anyone to be a target in our community when they go and get their cash out there.
How would you like me to approach that?
Ask what their security protocols are that they already have in place for other ATM buildings like this.
I think it's just making it clear that these are not conditions that we're putting upon the right people because we cannot do so, but just
considerations.
Just have questions.
Right. I'll have a discussion with them tomorrow and I'll bring up the safety concerns and ask what they're doing. I'll follow up with the council.
Okay. Any additional questions? Not, I will need a motion.
I'll make that motion to approve the proposed land use. Bank of America ATM room to go ahead and 4723 West Cedar Hill Drive.
Motion made by Councilor Davis, is there a second? I'll second. Seconded by Councilor Smith, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Mrs. Lindsay, were you still hoping to address the council tonight?
Was I planning to address the council tonight?
Well, our public comment motions at the beginning of the meeting, so we've already closed that. I know that you wanted to address the council, and so if that's what you're hoping to do tonight, I'm going to ask the council to wait 3 minutes if you would like.
Oh, that's considerate.
Yeah.
Sorry, I
have
no one here.
So
I
did
it.
Just real quick,
yeah.
So we'd like to make that motion to adjust the agenda to allow for our public comments to begin.
I will make that motion that we adjust public comments.
Motion
made by Councilor Anderson, is there a second? Second by Councilor Geddes, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passed unanimously. Thank you. Mrs. Lindsay, you may come to the microphone now. I'm going to start by introducing myself with your name and address, and then we'll have to be in.
Okay.
So my name is Brittany Lindsay. I live on Chester Hill Drive. I'm just a concerned parent in Cedar Hills. I've lived here 2 years. I have twins who are five. I have a three-year-old and I have a one-year-old. I'm a soccer coach in the rec league. We're pretty involved. I love living in Cedar Hills. But I am pretty concerned with the mandates that are happening to our entire state, to be honest, it's not just Cedar Hills. I am upset that I see commissioners who are enforcing these mandates. I see them at their own football games unmasked. I see them supporting the mask mandate that everyone else be masked, but when it comes to them and their children, the rule doesn't apply. So I'm very bothered by that. I'm bothered that the governor is doing the same thing with his parties. And I'm bothered that our parks and my children are being masked all day because of these incredible mandates that are being forced upon our children. I'm very upset about it. And I know I've spoken with the mayor and council member Anderson. I spoke with them last week about it, and I voiced my concerns. And I understand the city can be sued if they don't do what the state is telling you to do. But I'm hoping that everybody in this room, when something like this happens again, where they want to put more mandates, when they want to harass our kids even further, I'm hoping that someone pushes back. Because there are a lot of parents here who want to push back, and we can't. Because there's red tape everywhere. And blame is deflected all over the place. I've been so many times to Alpine School District to talk to Samuel Darman. Doesn't even have a voicemail. Are you kidding me? He doesn't even have a voicemail. So I can emotionally tell him how I feel as a parent. I can't even tell him that my little kids, my little five-year-old didn't mask supposed to be masked all day. I'm taken into a private school in Vineyard where I could get a mask exemption for them, because at Deerfield, I wasn't permitted a mask exemption for my little three-year-olds. It's insanity. Our little kids are supposed to be able to understand emotion. They're supposed to be able to read lips. They're learning really vital themes at these ages. And here we are covering their face all day. Yet here we are. I go to Alpine School District. No one is wearing their masks in there. No one is wearing it. And then I come in and they all pull them up and I'm like, you don't need to pull it up for me. Like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm actually hoping that you allow our kids to do the same when they need a breathing break. They shouldn't have to have breathing breaks. It's all very upsetting to me. And I've voiced my opinion about this. We have rallies coming up. There's a rally this Saturday in Payson where parents from all over the state are coming to talk about it. Parents are up in arms about this, and I am too. And I'm hoping that when more mandates come, because I feel a spike could suddenly come upon Cedar Hills again, our high schools are being closed again, I'm hoping that someone is advocating for our kids. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Councilmember Ashton and I did meet with Mr. Lucy for an hour on